He done right fair. Well, aren't you glad that God loves you? If he did not love us, I guess none of us would have been here this morning, wouldn't we? Except for his grace and mercy. He gives us another opportunity to come and be in his house with his people and to be able to share together the joy of worship. Hearing him speak to us through his word. What a blessing that is. Well, we're going to look at something this morning that I know that none of this happens to us, but it might happen to somebody you know, all right? Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter number 8, verse number 1. And I know nothing like this happens to you, but there's something that's similar to that happens to most of us all the time, all right? Being able to follow him means only one thing, is that we have been given his Spirit, the Spirit of God, placed in each one of our hearts, in each one of our beings. And because of that Spirit that he give us, who is of the Godhead, because of his Spirit, because of his love, because of his desire to have a relationship with us, he gave us the greatest gift that he could possibly give us. He gave us Jesus Christ. And because of his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, solidifies for us that Jesus is the sacrifice. What a blessing that is. All of us in here are subject to anything. Is that true or not? We're subject to anything because of our fallen nature. But his people, our desire is to walk in holiness. Amen? At least I hope that's what your desire is to walk in holiness. And that means a lot in the world we live in because there is so much offered at our hands that we have to be careful that what we do and the things we think and the things we say is things that really glorify him, because we're walking in the Spirit with him. On Wednesday night, we've been studying for some time the small book of 1 John. And in it, very clearly, he teaches us that there's a solution to our issue. And that is, our solution to the issue of life is that we walk in Christ. If we do not walk in Christ in the light of God, there's an issue. There's trouble. There's challenges. And sometimes we may even fall in defeat of what it is that we're facing. However, before we even start, I just want to let you know that God will not put anything before us, not physical, spiritual, sensual, whatever what you want to say, nothing before us that we do not have the strength to resist. No matter what it is. Now, there's a lot of failure in this area. A lot of failure in this area. Because for God, and we'll get into that in a minute. I just ramble. But let's start reading. Stand up if you would honor God in the reading of his word. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came again unto the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought into him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that we such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to excuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it began being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Have no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them that was saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What a statement. Father, we are thankful for that light that you have brought in this world. Man was dead in our own sins, our own trespasses, unable to communicate with you, separated because of sin, walking and groping around in darkness, trying to find our way, doing everything that we could to get to you whenever it was in a possibility. This morning, Lord, I pray as we bring this message that, Lord, that you'd open our hearts. Help us see the big picture, not just what's happening here, but the big picture of how we respond to you, how we act with you. Lord, I pray if there's one here that's lost and undone, I pray they'd be saved. I pray for the church. May each one of us grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. May none of us whatsoever resist the Spirit as he leads us to truth and the righteousness. Lord, I pray just now you'd anoint me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I pray that every word I say would be as if this is the last message I'd ever bring in my life. So I pray an anointing of the power of God. I pray that Jesus might be exalted. He might be lifted up. And I pray that, Lord, that through the Spirit of God, that I would speak only what you would have me to speak. Lord, I can only go to the ears. Sometimes I can't even make it that far. But Lord, you carry everything to our heart. So we invite your presence and say, Lord, have your way. Speak to us today. Lead us today. For it's in the powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I'll never forget what a young man said standing here in this altar one day as they were playing us some wonderful music, singing. He said that he, in Nashville, he had done pretty good. He had a number 8 hit nationwide, wonderful singer. And he said that he was there in Nashville working to help support his music effort. And said he worked at a restaurant. And in that restaurant, he said that he had gone all day, had not eaten a thing. And he said that he got an order to carry out. And he said that plate was covered, just piled up with shrimp, seafood, you know? He said, I was so hungry. I thought to myself, if I just got one of his shrimp, he would never know it. There's so many here. He would never know that I got just one shrimp. And I need that shrimp. He said, so he reached on the plate, took that shrimp off, bit that shrimp, chewed that thing up and swallowed it. He said, I've become so convicted I couldn't hardly even work. He said, God told me that if I just be faithful, that he would give me my needs, that he would feed me if I just follow him. See, a lot of times we try to do things and we say we're following him, but we're really not following him. We're following ourselves. Because we like the path that we choose instead of the path that he chooses. Because sometimes he chooses a hard path for us to walk in. It's not always easy. Sometimes it's extremely difficult. Sometimes we just, anybody ever just wanted to quit? Nobody in here? Okay, this doesn't exist. All right. Because things get difficult sometimes. And walking with him, he is so perfect. And he expects perfection. Don't think that God does not expect anything but perfection from us. He's not satisfied with our half efforts. He wants perfection. Just one issue with that. We're not perfect. So we have to depend, we have to lean on, we have to trust in the one who is perfect. And the one that can carry us through whatever it is that God's got us in. And I have seen some stuff in my life that was hard to walk through. Difficult. Spiritually, physically, mentally, every way you can think of it. Most of the time, the last place we follow is his path. And yet his promises that if we just follow him, he will not put anything on us that we cannot overcome, that we cannot resist. So we've got some help here. It's not just us that he's depending on, that we have to depend on. We got the one who is perfect, the one that can lead, the one who can guide. Now, I want you to get this picture here. What's going on here? Jesus is sitting in his Father's house, teaching. In his Father's house, that is the house of prayer. That's what he said. Sitting there, everything. Jesus, I wonder what he was teaching. The Bible doesn't tell us what he was. Maybe he was talking about faithfulness. I don't know. But as he sat there teaching, I can sure hear the ruckus that's going on. Don't know how many they were, but there were several men that in some way found some lady that was not behaving herself properly. And the only thing, I believe, the only thing they could think of at that time wasn't that she's doing something that was a sin. It was that, what is Jesus going to say about it? See, because I don't think they cared about whether she was sinning or not. I think they cared more about what Jesus thought about it and whether he was really going to uphold the law and what the law said. That's what they were thinking. If I could come on in here. Because they had their hands gripped on her. I imagine she was screaming and the men were hollering and calling her all kinds of names. And the people around there around the temple probably were just sort of scattering out of the way, trying to get out of the way of what was going on. And they walk up to Jesus and they present her. She had nothing but darkness to walk in. That's it. She had the darkness to walk in. And Jesus himself, who is the light of the world, who is the bread of life, who is the water of life, who is the door, who is everything that we possibly need, Jesus knew exactly what that woman needed. She had enough men there to drive her crazy, I'm sure. You know, men can do that some way. I don't know how it is. Men can drive ladies crazy. I remember a nurse asked me one time, do you know why come ladies live longer than men? I said, no, I don't. She said, because women listen to the doctor and men are hard-headed. They don't listen to nobody. I said, well, I'm not going to argue that. What did you say? I'm not going to argue about that anyway. The news is, those sins this week that we've been tempted with, those things, that obligations that we have to God, our faithfulness to him, our love for him, Where has it carried us this week? Has it been something that we've embraced, or has it been something we just go through every day, just whatever happens? Here we go. And we are faced with difficulties on every turn, especially today. There are challenges everywhere you go today. There's challenges in life because in most places, God's been thrown completely out. He's the last resource, not the first. Matter of fact, most people, and I won't say most people, I'd say a lot of people, even in the church, are at a place in their life where they don't even believe there's a God. I've had people tell me that, well, I just don't think there is a God. We are in a place of difficulty. We're in a place where we need some kind of light to shine where we can see. I remember walking into the taverns in the mountains. They carried us way back down in this cave. It was way back in there. I don't know how far it was. They got back there and they put us out on a little old grate out there. You couldn't see nothing. They had a little light. And they said, you're standing on a grate over some water that we've never found the bottom in. I'm thinking, getting me off of this thing. And about that time, they cut the lights out. I could not see my hand right here. Right there. And I thought to myself, somebody cut on the light. Somebody fire up a cigarette. Somebody do something in here. I need some light. Whatever it is. Please show me some light. That's exactly the way we are in life. And I'm not saying that we're not doing it. I'm just saying that our sin, our weakness, our failures are so easy to grasp us and hold us down. And here this woman is. Now she knew better to do what she was doing. She knew better that she knew that was against the rules. And those men, all they could think of, I want to see Jesus stone her. He's going to have to uphold the law. If he don't uphold the law, then we might, name and leave version, we might stone him. Well, just later they crucified him, so stoning is the same thing. Daniel said that God reveals those hidden things. God reveals the hidden things. So whenever we are running into those difficulties, God will show us what is the right thing to do. You ever been there before? Had no idea how to handle that situation. It's just so difficult. So difficult. Paul writes this about Jesus. Now listen. He says, giving thanks to the Father in Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has given that to us. We do not have to walk in darkness. He has given us the light of the world. We want to be able to see anything, to be able to do anything. We want to be able to face every challenge in victory. Every challenge in victory. Paul said, he has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And Jesus has just said, I am the light of the world. John wrote in 1 John that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And that light, listen, we don't walk in the light with a flashlight. We walk in the light of Christ. In his words, in what he has said, what he has done, he is the perfect image of holiness. He's the perfect image of service. He's the perfect image of perfection. And he does not condemn. Isn't that wonderful? That we have a Savior. Listen, Jesus said, he didn't come to condemn us because we were already condemned. He didn't need to condemn us. We were already in that shape. We were needing some mercy. We were needing God to take pity on us because we had no direction in life because of sin. Paul said he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions. Nothing has been made that has not been made by him for his glory. Us, you are glory sticks for the Lord. You are them pretty little flowers that's in the vases, or is that a vase? Vase or vase, whatever. Vase, there you go. Sounds prettier, doesn't it? You are his joy. You are his joy. Now let me ask you a question. Can we say honestly that my life is his glory? What if people looked at me? Ask ourselves. What if the world was looking at me? Would they see the glory of God on me? In me? Through me? Will they see the love that God has for me because I have overcome this world, not in myself, but in Christ? See, that's what God wants out of us. He wants us to love him so much that we're willing to forsake everything that there is except him. It's strange to me how men are. And women, I mean, it's all the same. I'm talking about humanity when I say that. The Pharisees, perfect religionists, they had it down pat. And here they come in, and they've got questions that they won't answer for sure. So to come in and say, Jesus, here this woman was. She was found in adultery. In the very act of adultery. What do you say? The law says to stone her. What do you say to do? Just think about this. Jesus knew exactly what the law said. He's the one who gave the law. Maybe it's his finger that was in the stone. We know he used his finger here in a few minutes. But did you know, if you are his, you don't have to commit sensual adultery. Anything we put before him is an adulterous affair before God. Anything. I don't care what it is. If it's a person, a place, or a thing, and it has any presence over God in your life, I'm telling you now, that's adultery. You are the bride of Christ. Do you know that? The bride of Christ. Now, unfaithfulness to him, challenges that we can have. This world will take and rob us of our walk with him and leave us in an adulterous situation facing the one who we are supposed to be the bride of. That's difficult. That's a hard place to be. And most of the time, it's stuff that has no value whatsoever. Did you know the only thing that really matters is him? The only thing we do that's going to last forever is for him? and to do it with the right attitude and the right purpose, to show Him how much we love Him, and He knows our hearts, man becomes so unfaithful. Listen, the light of Christ brings a hope. Brings us a hope. This woman was completely guilty of the law. Absolutely. According to the law, should she die? Yes. She should. But there was an issue there. The judge. See, that's where the problem is. God can look at us, Jesus will look at us, and He can judge us because He don't judge by what He sees. He judges our heart, our inner being. So when He does that, guess what? We don't do that because we can't see that part of it. We can't see the inner man. All we can see is the evidence that's there, and we want to judge the evidence instead of His mercy. Yes, she did deserve whatever the law said to do. He kneels down. There they are. Jesus, what are you going to do? Putting the pressure on him. What are you going to do? You are denying the law. You ain't living right. You ain't doing right. Whatever you're doing is wrong. Well, guess what? Everybody's doing wrong. We do not know everything. Amen. When we get to heaven, the Bible says that we will know all things. I think there's some things I don't even want to know. You know what I mean? But right now, we don't know everything. That's why there's so many denominations. Nobody knows everything. We have to take the Word of God, properly use the Word of God, and build our life around it. Not it around our lives. But here Jesus is. There she is, there screaming and hollering, let's kill her. And Jesus bends down and He writes on the ground. I have no idea what He wrote. But whatever it was brought some light to somebody. The Bible says they were, as soon as He wrote, their conscience condemned them immediately. Ever done young guys like that? It will. If we do something against God's word, what will happen to us is immediately, if the Spirit of God is living in us, immediately we will be challenged by our own conscience. Amen. God has given His Spirit to us, and He's written His laws on our heart. They're not on the stone anymore. They're right here in our being. And our conscience recognizes it. So there he was. Maybe he wrote adultery. Maybe he wrote lying, stealing, unfaithful, unwilling, ungiving. No telling what he wrote. The Bible doesn't tell us what he did. Maybe he just reached down and drawed a cross. Nobody knows what he did, but whatever it was, stirred some hearts. See, that's what God will do for us. If we're walking in favor with Him, if we're in tune with Him, God will speak to us in our hearts. He will move us and give us exactly the direction that we need to head to. And most of the time where He wants us to head is on our knees. Because if we don't start out on our knees, we've not even started yet. It's not the last thing we do, it's the first thing we do. Lord, I'm facing this thing. What is it that what do I need? Lord, You show me, You carry me through this, and tell me what You're trying to teach me. Because You're trying to teach us something. So Jesus said, okay. They believe version of it. I know they thought law, which the law cannot set her free. Did you know that? The law cannot set her free. She was bound by that law. And guess what? And the law, she was bound to that stuff. No getting out of that. Jesus stands, he says, listen. Whoever has no sin, cast the first stone. Now you would think the Pharisees could have thrown a rock. You would think they could. But nobody qualified. Not a one of them. And the Bible says that they turned and walked away. Can you imagine that? The very thing they wanted to do, and Jesus gave them permission, you do it. If you don't have sin, you do the law. But they were convicted. Because when we judge others, and we do not know their heart, we're sinning against God, I believe. We're sinning against God. Because God has for us to walk in holiness, to walk in the light, to love and to care so much about not just the ones that are here, but the ones that's in the street. Those that are alcoholics, those that are drug addicts, those that are in prison, those that are hurting, those that are sick, those that are broke. God wants us to have mercy on them. See, that's what she needed. He said, throw the rock if you have no sin. He brings a lot of hope. He brings a lot of light. And he brings salvation full and free. God has not done anything halfway. From the very beginning, I love this part. From the very beginning, before he ever said, let there be light. I can just imagine his voice was strong and powerful. And boom, there was light. From the time he said that until this very moment, he's intended one thing, and that is to show all of us the goodness of his grace in Jesus Christ, his Son. That's what he's done it for. So that we might see what a wonderful, loving God he is, and how merciful he is, and how gracious he is, and how mighty he is. God loves us. I don't know why. I don't know why. But he does. And he loves us perfectly. I like that part, don't you? When God comes to us and gives light for us to walk in, gives us the direction so that we will know how to walk. See, that's important. That's important. God has brought the church together. The church is where we are to worship. Now, I realize we're supposed to worship anywhere we're at. But there's something about the church coming together. It gives the kingdom of God power. Amen. And it reflects in the neighborhood that God is still at work. God still loves us. God is still making a way. He brings direction for our life. And nobody has to walk in darkness. Jesus stood up. He said, where's your accusers? She said, there is none. Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. He didn't say, I don't condemn you. He just said, neither do I condemn you. How do you think she felt? I wonder how she felt. I wonder if those Pharisees come back to Jesus and said, what did you mean by that? What did you mean by that? See, that's where we fail sometimes. When we walk through some things, and sometimes things are not able to avoid. They're just there. And when we come to Him, we need to know why, how. Lord, teach me, show me. What did you mean by that for me? What did you mean by that for my family? Because, listen, the Bible says that this world is going to wax worse and worse. You know what it said? That's what it said. Worse and worse. Men will become haters of God. That's what they said in the Bible. They will love themselves more than they do God. Now, I think we're there. I think we're there. Don't you? Because they, most time, God is on the outside just trying to get in. Let me in. Let me in so I can teach you. But He wants to give us direction. And He gives us direction through His Word. But now listen, through His Word sometimes, it challenges us. Anything we put before God is sin. Anything. Anything. We can make religion out of a lot of stuff. But the only thing that really counts is what He's done for us and what we do in Him and Him in us. And we got to walk this walk. We got to walk this life. And it's not easy to walk this life. Listen, think about Paul. Paul was as guilty as sin. If anyone needed to be stoned, Paul needed to be stoned. I mean, he was persecuting the church, killing the church. Dragging them out, sending them to jail, killing them. He stood there and held the coach while they killed Stephen. Did he deserve the law of punishment? Yes, he did. But he recognized something. He recognized that this flesh is a heavy load to carry. He realized this flesh was tempted by everything around him. Listen to what he said. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with my flesh, the law of sin. There's a battle going on, folks, with us. Battle going on within us. Here Paul said, the law of God and the law of sin. It's a battle. And anyone who would say that's not true has just denied the Word of God. Because that's what the Word of God says. Who delivered us from the great debt, he said, and doth deliver in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us? Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world? Who was that? Was it Paul? No, but God used Paul greatly, didn't he? I mean, if I was going to be anybody, I don't want to be Paul. He's done a pretty good job. He's pretty faithful. But see, when Christ comes in, not only does he give us hope and give us a direction, he gives us security too. I want to feel safe, don't you? I want to be sure that whatever, I want to have that security. We got to doorbell at the house, and 200 times a day almost it rings on our phone. Get another thing. I'll pick it up and I'll say, somebody trying to go in our house, and I put that camera on, and it was just a car going by. I said, wonder what we got that thing on the house for. That ain't worth nothing. It shows us when a car's on the highway. But we do things so we can see and have security. But did you know that the law cannot give us that security? Cannot give it to us at all. Now, the law is good. The law has shown us that we need some help. The law is good, but the law is deadly because it has no power of its own to deliver us. There's never been one person, never one person that has been saved by the law. Not one. So we needed someone that could do something about that, since there was no power there. But listen, all you got to do is read the law, and you know that, man, we're in a mess. But God sent someone who could do it. Paul said to the book of Ephesians, says, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Wow. God has put his stamp of approval on us. There's not a devil in hell can do anything about it. Not nowhere. Because it was not us. Matter of fact, we didn't even know we were sinners until the Holy Spirit showed us. We didn't even know there was a God until the Holy Spirit enlightened us. And to say, other than that, I want to know how a dead man does that. I mean, they can't do anything. Matter of fact, it is the power of God that brings us to him. He is the one who searches. He's the one who finds us. It is through Christ that we come. Listen to what it said. John chapter 1. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but God. That's it. John said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that all which he giveth me I should lose nothing. Jesus said, all that the Father gives him will never perish. Never perish. He gives us hope. He gives us direction. He gives us security. Now, let me sort of explain that security, if you would, a little bit. That security comes because we can't do it ourselves. Every year, the high priest had to go into the holy place. He had to present that blood sacrifice once a year. And when he did, Israel was covered. He had done his job, and Israel was done. Only one problem. Next year he had to do the same thing. Next year he had to do the same thing. Over and over and over. The priest, if he was a priest for 30 years, guess what? For 30 times, he had to go in there and do that. Everybody be fine. What do you think would have happened if they didn't do it on that day? I don't know. I wouldn't even speculate on that. But the high priest that we have is not like the high priest of man. And the sacrifice he made was not an innocent lamb. He gave a sacrifice of the holy, magnificent God of glory. It was his sacrifice. And he went before him and offered himself the sacrifice for all sin, for all times, uno. Just once. And guess what? Jesus said, all that come to me, they will not perish. I've lost none. I will not lose any. Security comes not by what we do or what we can do. It comes by what Christ has done. And if we lean on anything other than Him to get us there, we're barking up the wrong tree. But when we are His, we must walk in Him. We must show the world. He needs to live through us. Just live through us. Let the world know that you are in love with the Creator. You let the world know that you're in love with the Savior. You let the world know that He loves them as well. But then we have some responsibility. True responsibility. Paul wrote this. I guess he's done pretty good. The Holy Spirit inspired him to say it, so I guess it's all right that he put it in here. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "But be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Baal? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God." Here, you and me are the temple of the living God. And he says, what business does the temple of God have to do with idols? Things we put before God. God has said, "I will dwell in them, walk in them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Our desires should just simply be, let me walk in Christ. Let me be like Christ. Let me love like Christ. Let me care like Christ. You know, that's a commitment, isn't it? But He committed Himself to us. And we can do it. We can do it. We do not have to fail. Matter of fact, we will prevail in Him. Adultery is anything before God. Something that taints the truth. Something to just put in that shouldn't be there. And it can be anything. Family, friends, work, life itself, entertainment, whatever it might be. So this morning, God is just saying, I'm the light of the world. If you want to know how to walk, walk in me. Because when you're in me, you got light to see. And when you got light to see, you'll know what to avoid. If you got light to see, you'll know where to go when that time comes. So may God lead us. Seal us. May we commit ourselves to His holiness. Father, thank you.